Hi, I'm Frank, and I'm the pastor of Real Life Church in beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. My life wasn't always like this. Years ago, I was a hard-living, unsaved young archaeologist living in Jerusalem, Israel. Everything was going well for me, and I was very successful, but unhappy and unfulfilled on the inside. Here I was, excavating the Bible, specifically palaces and fortresses of King Herod the Great. I was walking in the footsteps of Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. However, everything changed the day I asked the Lord into my life. And now, I invite you to go on the journey with me as we study the Word of God with insight and revelation drawn from the years that I spent as an archaeologist in Israel. Welcome to Real Life Radio, where we apply God's Word to our real lives. It's been 16 years. 16 years, right now, 16 years. Since the surgeon said, you have a serious and advanced stage of cancer that we cannot remove all of it. We can remove part of it, but not all of it. The only hope we have of keeping you alive is massive radiation and massive chemotherapy. Pastor Mary Beth took the services, flew back and forth. Anatoly was our only son home, and only child home at the time. And the surgeons came out mid-operation. It was supposed to be a simple laparoscopic surgery, you know, with the little instruments that they put in, and then it turned out that he had to call in a second surgeon. They came out, their hands were shaking, talking to Pastor Mary Beth and saying, it's not good. It's not good. And that night, however, the Spirit of God spoke to me. I heard somebody come into my room around midnight. I was fitful, not asleep, just, you know, I was in tremendous pain. And I had a lot of drugs, you know, I had it on a button there. And so that middle of night, midnight, I thought it was a doctor or a nurse, but I opened my eyes, I didn't see anybody, but then I heard the voice of the Lord. You might ask, what did the voice of the Lord sound like? Well, it wasn't Charlton Heston's voice, it wasn't a movie voice, an actor's voice. It was simultaneously outside of me and inside of me. I heard his voice audibly, and heard it in my spirit simultaneously. The two scriptures, all he said, two scriptures, that's it. Both from the book of Psalms. You shall live and not die, and declare the wonderful works of God. For I sent my word and healed you, and delivered you from all destruction. I knew those Psalms, I knew those verses. I knew God had spoken. I knew I had my healing. Didn't feel any different. I didn't jump out of bed. I was still in great pain. I was still weak. That was a Monday evening. The next day, surgeons and radiation doctor came in and said, we need to start treatment immediately, but you're too weak. You can't start. We need to stabilize you. Same thing the next day. I didn't tell them I didn't need it. I didn't tell them I was healed. I just said, oh, whatever. You know, I was in this, what I call a bubble of faith. Whatever they said didn't make any difference to me. I knew I'd been healed. And meanwhile, Pastor Mary Beth jetting around, you know, doing the work of the ministry, taking care of the house and Anatoly, and little things, you know, made a big poster, Miracle Man, that put it up on the wall behind me, made a cassette tape of healing scriptures, but the player that I had didn't work properly, and so I had healing scriptures spoken to me by Alvin the Chipmunk, because the player wouldn't play it at the right speed, so it was that was to cheer me up, yeah, and I didn't know Alvin got saved, actually. That was great news to me. So, what were the others? No, I don't want to digress. So, and then of course, praying. And so, Thursday, 3 days later, Thursday morning, 7:30 in the morning, the surgeons came in, and they said, we have some very, very good news for you. There's been a remarkable turn of events. The radiation doctor, I liked her reaction best. She said, this is a real head-scratcher. We don't understand it. But the cancer's no longer in your body. You're cancer-free. The very next day, I got released from the hospital, not because they wanted to and not because I should have been, but because I talked my way out of the hospital. I said, if there's no cancer, then I need to go. I was in no condition to go home, but I went. It was not like, you know, when you get a healing, sometimes you think, I'm jumping around dancing like the guy in Book of Acts chapter 3. It didn't happen like that. I had tubes going in, tubes coming out, and they had to be drained. And the doctor taught me how to drain the tubes, and I had to measure what was coming out of me and drain it, I mean, and call it into them. Because when you have major surgery, some of you may have had it, you have a tube to drain inside you, you know? And so that's pretty gross and disgusting. I didn't sign up for that, but I didn't find out about that till after I was being released. So that was like that. And it was very interesting because I was in so much pain that if I dropped something, I couldn't bend over and pick it up because I had staples down right down the middle of me. But I was healed. I was cancer-free. So that I was getting all kinds of phone calls, and one call I returned, and it was someone whose father had died, had been a part of the church, had died, and begged me to do the funeral 4 days later. So I came down here and did the funeral. I was in the hospital in D.C. I came down here and did a funeral service 4 days later, and because I felt I was that close to death and I was raised up, so the least I can do is do a service, funeral service for this this guy's, he was a member of the church, for his father. So God has a way of making things happen. And when the doctors can't, God can. When we can't, God can. When we've run out of options, God is just beginning. First of all, tonight's message is called Christ the Healer. Christ meaning anointed one. It's the word in Greek for Mashiach, in Hebrew, Messiah. And the Word of God says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about healing. Jesus came and went about healing. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So healing must be in the Word. Jesus has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he went about doing good and healing in the years that he ministered the gospel, then he is still doing the same thing, going about healing. If anyone tells you it passed away with the apostles, you got to call them on it and ask them for chapter and verse. Ask them to show it to you in the Bible. I don't care what position they hold in what church. Have them show it to you in the Bible. You'll not find it, because God's word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the healer. He is the Word of God made flesh. God's word says that there's healing available to the believer, and Jesus is that vehicle for healing. Now, Numbers 21, we're going to start in the Old Testament. Numbers 21. In Numbers 21, I'll start in verse 4. As the people of Israel journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Have you ever been discouraged because of the way? And tonight, because the emphasis is on healing, when you get a diagnosis of something, when you start to be treated, when you start going through the testing, and you go through test after test, this treatment and that treatment, they're trying to stop the effects of whatever you have even before they know what you have. And they're trying this and trying that. It begins to be debilitating, to wear you down mentally and emotionally. I was thinking about that tonight as we sang that song, I Surrender. Too many people surrender to the world rather than surrender to God. They'll easily surrender to the doctor, and if the doctor tells them anything, they'll do it. But yet, they have find difficulty surrendering to God. Well, tonight, let's get it straight. We need to surrender to the Lord. He's the great physician. Surrender to God. Why would we do something a doctor says but not something that God says? I mean, of course, I believe in doctors. We thank God for doctors. We trust doctors. But the point is, we need to have more faith in God than we have in medical science. Because to this day, doctors still practice, right? They practice. And you know, practice is what you do before the game, not on the game day. Game day, you're not practicing any longer. But somehow, doctors are still practicing. Anyway, let's get back to the word. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt? To die in the wilderness? For there's no bread. There's no water. And we are, our soul, I love this, our soul loathes. We are so tired. In other words, they were saying like, we're sick and tired of this bread you're giving us. That's manna from heaven. That is the supernatural provision from God. And they were despising it. That's how, where they were mentally. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and a lot of people died. A lot of people died. So, the people turned around. They came back to Moses and said, uh-oh, we've messed up. We've sinned. We've spoken against you and against the Lord. Can you pray for us that he would take away the serpents? And Moses prayed for the people. What did the people ask God to do? Take away the serpents. What did Moses ask God to do? Take away the serpents. What did God do? Did not take away the serpents. I've had people actually say to me, well, if you believe God heals, how come people are still sick? Because he didn't take away the serpents. It's very clear. He didn't take away the serpents. What did he do? It says, the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. In other words, something out of melted metal, fiery, hot. Put it on a pole. It shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks at the serpent on the pole, he shall live. So rather than take away the sickness and disease, rather than take away the fiery serpents, he makes a way that if you are afflicted, by faith you can be healed. If you look at the serpent, there's no, absolutely no medical reason for a person who's been bitten by a snake to look at a snake on a pole and get healed. There's no reason for that. Medical science, nothing there. Not even, I don't even think psychology. But there is faith. Faith works wonders. And what God is doing is bringing his people to a place of expectant faith, looking to him, looking to something beyond themselves. And so Moses made the serpent of brass, put it on the pole. It came to pass that if the serpents had bitten anybody, when they looked at the serpent of brass, they lived. It worked. It worked. Faith works. Faith is active. Faith is powerful. Faith is of God. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He wrote the book on faith. Now, I'm going to just quickly turn to John chapter 3 for a moment. And we all love John chapter 3 because of verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's verse 16. But I want to begin at verse 14. As Moses, Jesus is saying this too, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus compares himself with the serpent on the pole, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. Now, if you put those three verses together, Jesus is bringing us to an understanding that like the serpent in the wilderness, he is going to be a focal point of healing at the time that he is the focal point of salvation at the cross. He's making a reference to the serpent on the pole as Jesus being on the cross. He gives us, for God so loved the world, but he starts it with healing. Healing was not done tonight. Those of you who need healing tonight, it's not done tonight. It was done at the cross. Jesus purchased our healing at the cross 2,000 years ago. We're going to access it tonight, but it's already done, which takes away the impediment that some people have, like, maybe it's not God's will to heal you. You can't pray like that. You cannot pray like that, because the Word of God, Jesus himself says, when you pray, believe. And if you're confused, you can't believe. God says, when they came to Jesus, said, if it's your will, you can make me whole. Jesus said, I will be thou made whole. So what we understand here is that healing, God made the decision. Yes, he made the decision at the cross. Now let's look at that a little further. I'm going to go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And this is prophetic about Messiah. Isaiah 53. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verse 4, verse 5. Surely he, it's Messiah, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now those two words, griefs and sorrows, are translated griefs and sorrows in the King James. But elsewhere in the King James, throughout the Old Testament, those same two words are translated sickness and disease. Elsewhere, same translators. I believe that he carried our griefs, our sorrows, our sickness, our disease, and he became our sin as well. But the word carried, or born our griefs, born our sickness, that word born is also used in the Old Testament in Leviticus when the scapegoat bears away the sin of the people. That's how he has taken our sickness. The same way that the sin was transferred to the scapegoat, so our sickness is transferred to the Messiah at the cross. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Stripes meaning the beatings, the whipping, scourging that he took. Wounds. With his wounds we are healed. Now that is present tense. And with his stripes we are healed. Are healed is the present tense. And in the Hebrew it's present tense. But an interesting thing happens when we get to 1 Peter. You don't need to turn, I'll just quote it to you. 1 Peter, he quotes that. Peter quotes that same verse in chapter 2, verse 24. And he says this, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes ye were healed. The Holy Spirit changes the tense from a present tense to a past tense because it's an action that has already been accomplished. It has already been done. It's past tense. Our healing was already purchased. Your healing was already purchased. It is not being purchased. It's not going to be purchased. It's not present. It's past. Done. Done deal. Psalm 107, verse 20 is what he said to me that I shared with you earlier. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. Some translations, your destruction. All past tense. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. But I want you to focus on he sent. And keep in mind that Jesus is the word made flesh. So when he sent his word, you can also put in there that he sent Jesus. Jesus even saying, the same way the Father has sent me, so send I you. So Jesus acknowledged he was sent by the Father. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. And the reason I wanted you to look at that is because I want to quote something from Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. He sent his word and healed me and delivered me from all destruction. God's word says that word will not come back to him empty, but will accomplish his will, which is healing, wherever he has sent it. Now here's where we get to the good news. Have you heard anything I've said tonight? Did you hear me speak this word tonight? If you heard me, God has sent it to you. If you have heard me speak the word of God tonight, he has sent it into your lives, using me as the vehicle. He has spoken this word to me, prepared this in my heart for me to speak to you, brought you here, brought you online to hear it. He has sent it to you. It will accomplish. Those in need of healing, spiritual healing, mental, emotional healing, physical healing, whatever kind of healing you're in need of, he has done it and you will receive it because he sent his word. It's not going to come back to him empty. It will accomplish his will. He'll accomplish what he sent it to do. God's word is Jesus. God's word is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We may have a difficult time. We may have had a rough day. Think about Israel traveling through that wasteland. We have to avoid complaining. We have to avoid anything other than words of faith. We had friends that when they were going through a struggle of healing, they would not let anybody near them that would speak anything negative. They didn't want to receive or hear anything negative. They only wanted the positive, powerful word of God spoken to them, that they would hear that. We are trained to believe what we hear most of the time. We have heard from the world year after year after year in our lives. We need to be hearing God's word because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We will either have faith for the world's outcome or faith for God's outcome, depending on what we feed upon. What we feed upon, that's what we become. If we feed upon the word of God for healing, we will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might in the area of healing. If we feed upon the word of God for finances, we'll be strong in the area of finances. God's word is like seed. He puts that seed into us and brings forth a harvest. The harvest depends on the seed. Remember I was talking about that? Miracle seed, miracle fruit on Tuesday evening. The harvest depends on the seed. We are the ones who determine what seed goes into our hearts. We can sow seeds of doubt, seeds of unbelief, seeds of despair. When you hear something, I don't want you to think I'm down on doctors at all, but if the doctor says this is the progression of the disease, people will latch on to that. Fear will come in. They will absolutely believe that's what's going to happen. But yet God's word says we can be healed. Why is it so hard to believe for God's healing and so easy to believe for natural destruction? So when God says, I am the Lord thy God, thy healer, we believe it. We trust in it. We hold fast to it. There have been many, many healings that we've experienced. I mean, I've experienced the major one of cancer. Minor healings all the time. Minor healings, you know, things that, like the one in Israel. I was living with the Bedouin, and before I was saved, I would eat with them and drink the water and all of that, and I got very, very, very ill. I was sick for 10 days in bed, 10 days without drinking, without eating, without anything. And I actually started to hallucinate. But then it broke, and I made my way out from my room, and I started slowly to recover, but it took me months to recover. Then after being saved, after a believer, I'm living with the Bedouin again, and you know the story of drinking that water, and it was just, you know, terrible. I had to drink it. It hadn't been refilled. It was full of stuff, just floating around swimming, or some swimming, some floating, and the stuff that I couldn't see, that was the worst. But I was thirsty. It was about 100 degrees, working in the hot sun. We always drank the same water. It was in a jug. The problem was that the woman, the family that I was living with, the husband and the wife were having a disagreement. They were Bedouin. They were having a disagreement. So she refused to go a mile away to the well and get the water. So the water went down, and I was so thirsty, I had to scoop it out of the bottom. That's where all the sediment and all the stuff. Anyway, I got sick. And that night, I felt all the same things that I had felt a few years before when I had gotten sick before I was saved. Pastor Mary Beth laid hands on me and prayed. I prayed in agreement with her. And 1 hour later, I was completely healed. I never had any relapse of what had happened before. Totally healed. We prayed for a man, I don't know, some of you online, I know Rick and Marlene, remember Ed Bowie. We prayed for Ed. He was a diplomat from Liberia in the United Nations, but he had to leave his post because he had become blind because of a disease that destroyed his optic nerves. He was being treated at the VA hospital, actually Walter Reed in Washington, D.C. Walter Reed doesn't exist anymore, got knocked down. But in those days, it was there. And his sister called us and asked about the healing service we had on a Saturday, and they brought him in. We prayed for him, and the pain increased in his eyes. He got put into the hospital. We went to the hospital and prayed for him. 2 weeks later, his eyes opened. 2 weeks later. The doctors at the VA said, there's nothing we can do. Your optic nerves are destroyed. But God had another plan. His eyes opened. And he was able to see, got his driver's license back, and drove and was fine till the day he passed away. There was an African-American family, really special, special family in D.C. And he was a surgeon at Howard University Hospital, top surgeon. He was a cancer surgeon, and he specialized in cancer of the pancreas, pancreatic cancer. And he developed pancreatic cancer. He said that nearly every surgery, and he did hundreds of them, he would hold somebody's pancreas in his hands as he's performing surgery, and fear would grip him that one day he would get that very same disease. The thing I've greatly feared has come upon me, is what I think it was Job who said that. And I think it's in Job, I can't remember. And so He came to us. They brought him for healing. We prayed. First of all, he, his wife, his five children all got saved. Five children. It was a remarkable family. One went to Brown. One went to Harvard. One went to Yale. One went to Penn State, probably. I don't know. I mean, University of Pennsylvania. They're all in these Ivy League schools all over the country. And he got healed. He got healed. There was no living cancer cells in his body. He got healed. It was, and I mean, and he got, they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was quite an amazing event celebrated at Howard University. We met all kinds of doctors there and surgeons that wanted to know how this happened. It was quite an event because God is our healer. Jesus heals. Now, it doesn't have to be somebody that's in a top position like those two. We've prayed for scores of people who, in India, Pastor Mary Beth was taken by the hand by a woman seemingly to a pile of garbage. You know, there are lots of piles of garbage in India, in this Calcutta, all over the place. But we were actually by the Kali Temple, so there was a lot more there. And we saw something spiritually that by the closer you get to the Kali Temple, the more death, destruction, and disease there was. And when this lady knelt down by this pile of garbage, there was a black sack on top of it, and it moved. It was the lady's mother. And she asked Pastor Mary Beth to pray. She prayed for this lady. This lady sat up, burst into tears, accepted the Lord, and was healed. And over, we see this. Jesus is not a respecter of persons, but he is a healer, and he always heals. He always heals. I want everybody to know that. He always heals. He didn't heal me because I was a pastor. He didn't heal me because I was special. He healed me because I believed. He healed me because I extended my faith. He healed me because we prayed. He healed me because he's a faith God. He responds to faith. How many times did he tell people, your faith hath made you whole? We're going to look at this on Sunday morning. How many times did he say that? He's moved by our faith. And so what we are to do is hear the word of God, fill our hearts with the word of God, express our faith, walk by faith, talk it. Do not accept defeat. I prayed for healing for a year without getting a healing. It wasn't until that moment that he spoke that I knew I had it. So don't ever give up. It's not that he's denying. What is that phrase? Delay is not denial. Delay is not denial. Hold fast to confession of your faith. He is faithful that promised. That verse would not be in the Bible if you always got everything instantly. Hold fast to profession of your faith. He is faithful that promised. We have to have faith that he's faithful. Faith in him. Faith in his word. Faith that he is who he says he is and does what he says he does. And he does. I am living proof. He does. So we thank God tonight, not just for my healing, but for yours. Thank him in advance. If anyone is in need of healing, begin to thank the Lord now. Because he's not forsaken any one of us. He is our healer, and he will provide. It's done. I mean, I shouldn't say he will. He's done it at the cross.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Real Life Radio today. If you grab a piece of paper and pencil, I want to give you some information. First of all, Real Life Radio is produced and brought to you compliments of Real Life Church. We're not asking for any contributions, but we are asking one favor. The next time you visit beautiful Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, we'd love for you to stop into one of our services. We have service every Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., and every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Those are both in-person services located at 9644 North Kings Highway in Myrtle Beach, and that's on the corner of Lake Arrowhead Road. It's in a center called the Galleria. Now, both of these services are online as well as in-person, but we also have two other services totally online, Sunday evening at 7 p.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. All four online services are located at amiraclechurch.com. That's amiraclechurch.com. And even if you're not in Myrtle Beach, you can attend church with us. If you'd like more information, visit our church website, www.pastorfrank.com. That's pastorfrank.com. Real Life Radio is heard Monday through Friday at the same time on this same station, the Truth Network. God bless you and start living that real life right now.